Math is wonderful.
This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff.
Math is a really cool thing. So get off your ass, let's do some math. Math, 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 math.
JMU's Laura Talman has written one textbook and collaborated with fellow JMU math professor Peter Cohn on another about calculus. The part of mathematics focused on limits, functions, derivatives, integrals, and infinite series. As a non-math person, I asked Laura to suggest questions she might ask herself if she were a non-math person.
Math is a wonderful thing. Math is a really cool thing.
I love this question that you asked of yourself. Why would anyone study math when it is so difficult and demoralizing? And those were your words.
Those are my words.
Yeah, okay.
I find it very difficult and demoralizing. That's true. There's this sort of life cycle of what it's like to study math. So it begins with you being completely confused and you don't know what you're doing, you know, and then maybe you make a breakthrough and after months or years or however long you hit your head against the wall, you find the answer. But then when you find the answer, you feel joy for like 2 seconds, maybe a day if you're lucky. But upon reflection, usually the answer then seems kind of obvious, right? Because you figured it out and you think, wow, it's really stupid. Why did that take me a week, a month, a year, whatever to figure out? And then you think, well, great, I've proved something obvious. And then you move on to the next thing. So there's like long periods of sadness followed by
humility.
Humility, a lot of humility. And pretty much everything seems obvious once you figure it out. You know, that's how you figure it out.
When I think of mathematics at the level you're talking about, I think of a blackboard covered with hieroglyphics. There's a lot of squiggles and, you know, various things. When I say math, I'm talking about totting up how much I've spent at the grocery store or perhaps figuring out the square footage of my house. When does my math become your math?
I think that my answer might be never, because that kind of math of adding things up, to me, math is very separated from the real world. So if you're adding up something that actually has significance, like in reality, then to me, that's not my, there are plenty of people that study that kind of math. I'm just not that kind of mathematician.
So that's arithmetic?
I'd say that's arithmetic, and it's very applied, right? So even if you did something more complicated than adding, I mean, when you're starting to figure out square footage and maybe the room is topologically interesting or something, you know, like that can be non-trivial to do that. So I'm not like equating that with easiness, just with like when you're done, you get a number, you're like 4, you know?
All right. and you can prove it.
And you can prove it, but you don't really understand anything. You just have like a quantity. So like this quantitative questions I'm not as interested in.
Let's start with what you did your graduate work in and what you teach and speak in simple words so that I can understand you.
Okay. My graduate work, that was a long time ago, and I don't do that kind of math anymore. But when I was in graduate school, I studied this thing called singular algebraic geometry, which meant you were interested in certain kinds of geometric objects, and the way that you described them was algebraic, and the, you know,
meaning,
with the,
meaning
maybe with equations or maybe higher order algebraic types of descriptions. And the singular part meant that basically the things were pointy or bad or knotted up in a really bad way. So you might have a, you know, some kind of space that's defined by an equation, but there's a place where instead of it being nice and smooth and you can do calculus there. Maybe there's a bad point where it's pointy and then all the calculus. I really didn't like calculus. So I chose something where I specifically would not be able to do calculus because everything was broken. I guess the best way to say it is you study associated objects that are nice and you look at how they associate to your bad space. And then you can sort of make analogies to what happens in the two.
Nice and bad. I sense again, they're not my nice and bad.
Well, I don't know. Depends what your nice and bad
nice
are.
Nice to me is sweet, pleasant, and bad is yucky, icky.
I actually mean exactly that. they're the same. So for me, like nice would mean like the surface of a sphere, very nice. It's very regular. Nothing goes wrong.
Okay.
You could measure the curvature or the geometry of it. Like locally, everything is flat. You know, if you're a tiny ant, you actually think you're living on something flat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about as boring as it can be and pleasant as it can be. That's very nice. And then bad would be if the sphere has all kinds of pointy bits in it or has been stretched out and then tied up and knotted in some kind of wild way that it's like weird infinite singularity thing happens, or just like imagine the worst possible thing that you could do to this ball, and that would be
sort of so I found myself perched on the pinnacle of Mount Everest and was trying to understand what was under my feet.
Yeah, I mean, if that's actually a good example, because that's like the pointy example. So if you're walking up, say, a cone or a mountain, then it locally still looks flat just on its side. But if you're on like this actual tip, then that is weird. It's hard to understand what's happening at that really pointy place. And so my research was kind of about that.
What's happening at the pointy place?
Yeah, what's happening at the pointy place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you care about this? I cared about math as long as it could help me balance my checkbook and figure out the square foot of my house. Mm-hmm. But then I found myself awash in trigonometry, which seemed singularly detached from anything useful. So is it the equivalent of pure scientific research all of a sudden yielding tang?
Yeah. Actually, that's a good analogy, because that actually really captures exactly how much I care if my research is ever used. Like, yeah, maybe you're going to make tang. That's great. But that I didn't do this so that you could make tang.
Why should I care about your math as opposed to my math, my arithmetic?
Well, the funny thing is, I think that you probably should not care about that. And I think that most mathematicians wouldn't care about anyone but a small subset of what other mathematicians do. Like the thing that I did when I was at Duke, there were maybe 12 people in the world that even cared to think about such a thing and had built up the vocabulary and our own imaginary universe of what we talk about. You know, and half of those people lived in France. So it's not like I could talk to these people. And a lot of them were a lot older than I was. I'd never met these people. Like occasionally I might meet one at a conference. It's like meeting, you know, Elvis Presley or something, you know. And that's kind of why I don't do that kind of math anymore, actually, because it is so localized and you're playing in this playground that's so small, and you do it because you care about it and you like it. And it advances the field where, you know, in your specialty. But I don't do that anymore.
I heard early on in this conversation you say you didn't like anything to do with calculus.
Yeah.
I know exactly
what you're going to say.
Yeah, I look down here, and you have been the author of not one, but two calculus textbooks. What happened?
I ask myself that question quite a lot, actually. I'm not really sure about that. I don't have an answer to that, really. I mean, I really did try to do something that was not calculus, but at the same time, that's kind of the gateway to all mathematics. The way it doesn't have to be, but that's just how we structure it as it happens. So students come to college, they take calculus. That's the beginning of what they see, and I'm really interested in that beginning. So it wasn't like a love of calculus that made me write it. It was more. And in particular, the book I wrote is for students who are really struggling and they need to understand serious theoretical calculus for math and science majors. But, you know, they can't factor a polynomial, or they can't, simplify a fraction. And those students get written off a lot. And I think that there's a lot of potential in those students, but they just haven't found their way into like the beauty of mathematics yet. And so to me, the book was more about getting these people on board on the math, you know, train, and not so much about calculus itself.
You want to now take undergraduates who perhaps are dragging their feet into a baby calculus class because they want to get into med school, or they want something they have to have calculus for, and giving them just a taste of that gloriousness?
Yeah, well, I would hope, you know, that would be the goal. I don't know that that ever happens. A lot of them just are still miserable the whole time. But, you know, occasionally a student will say, wow, I really see how this is fitting together. Or, oh, I have a great example. I have a student that she was in my pre-calc class, you know, struggling with calculus, struggling with pre-calculus, you know, but interested. And she came to a seminar that somebody was giving in our department. And I had given some little amount of extra credit, you know, to go to this seminar. And so she went to it, and it had nothing to do with calculus. And she, you know, asked questions in the seminar. She made a point, you know, this is like a high-powered research seminar. And then she asked a question at the end. And then she came to me later and said, well, that just blew my mind. Like, I want to think about math questions, like real math questions. What can we work on? You know, and that is what,
that's what you
I think
want.
We all live for. So somebody to say, can you just give me a problem to think about? You know, this sounds really interesting.
Do your students love you?
No, I'm sure that they don't love me. I'm sure they have moments where they are enjoying my class, I hope. But
are you this much fun in class as you are to interview?
Well, I try to be really nice to the students. I try to, you know, make things entertaining just by being nice, right?
Yeah.
And just by being engaging. But honestly, I'm like a dentist. I asked them once, which would you rather do? Would you rather take the test 2, which is coming up, right? A calculus test for me. Or would you rather go to the dentist and have a root canal? And I did not win that battle. It wasn't even close. Like, they really would rather go have a root canal than take my test.
But were they laughing when they said that?
Yeah. They're laughing.
They're
it's
laughing.
Fun and everything is very friendly, but when it comes down to it, you know, I am the dentist in this situation, you know? Apologies to dentists,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah. We're not breaking bad on dentists.
I feel a camaraderie with dentists.
You're having this very cerebral, make-believe universe world in graduate school that obviously excited you. And now your life is perhaps more spread out, many more things. What absolutely sets you on fire about what you're doing now?
I think that still proving new results that have never been proved before is still, of course, the most exciting. I think we would all say that, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I love teaching and I love my students. I love figuring out new ways to do good things in class, or, you know, maybe figuring out how to write something in a way that is, you know, helps people somehow. But honestly, if we didn't have the research component to our jobs, I think we'd all go a little bit crazy. You know, to us, the students are the dentists, I think, you know. We have to grade their papers. I was talking to a friend of mine about this the other day, that we picked a profession where we, on a daily basis, get to see like dozens of people completely mangle and unappreciate everything we love, you know? And that's hard, you know? It's hard to have what you love out there and everybody's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry for you for being a mathematician, or, you know, I hate this class, or it's so hard, or, you know, you teach them something so carefully and then they take the test and they fail it, and it's difficult, right? So to counteract that, we have to have this sort of joy of exploring and discovery, and the collaborations I do with, especially collaborative work, because that's really exciting to like bounce ideas
yes.
off other faculty members and, you know, to finally solve that problem and to get it published. And that's really exciting. And it kind of balances out the, you know, the misery parts of teaching, you know?
This collection of dentists locked up in a room together.
All torturing each other, you know, because we have to. And yeah, I have a test to grade right now. You know, I'm glad that we're having this interview and I don't have to grade my test this very second.
Laura Talman also collaborates with her husband, Phil Riley, and other JMU math colleagues on various Sudoku books and on actually doing the mathematics related to Sudoku. You'll find a link to that part of our conversation, unedited, on the Spark page at wmra.org.
Math, 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 math.